Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kedushin Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Aleph Omed Aleph. Before we learn the Gemara itself, we glance in the margin of our Shas Ozer, the marked Gemaras that Gemara Markings uses, and you'll notice we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we indicate that this is Ad Nun Beis Omed Aleph. In other words, we have a long topic that will keep us occupied throughout today's shiur. The topic reads, Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Labia, a marriage that cannot be followed up by an act of intimacy. This, of course, was a topic that we mentioned in our previous shiur. At the very end, we noted Rava's point that Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Labia is not considered Kiddushin. Well, what is that? So we note on the side, Kidesh Achas Mishte Achoyos, a man married one of two sisters, Velo Pirish Ezo, and he didn't specify which one. So a man had taken some money and given it to one of two sisters, and he says, "I'm marrying with this money. I am marrying one of you." He didn't say which one. So, if he were to attempt to have intimacy with one of them, she might be the sister of the one he married. He doesn't know. The sister of one's wife is an erva, is a forbidden relationship. Does a situation like that, where a man married one of two sisters and did not specify which one, is that considered a marriage? Now, you'll ask, what do you mean by that? He doesn't know to whom he's married. The practical ramification of this would be, if you say that it constitutes a marriage, so the man would have to give a divorce document to each one of them, simply out of doubt that maybe one of them, not knowing which one, is married to him. That is Abaye's position, that Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Labia, a marriage that cannot be consummated with living together as man and wife, because of the fear that the one you would have intimacy with is actually the sister of the one you married, that doesn't detract from there having been Kiddushin. Rava, on the other hand, says, no, Einon Kiddushin, it's not, nothing took hold. There is no marriage. Once again, according to Rava, a marriage that can be followed by an act of intimacy, that's considered a marriage. But if it can't be followed by an act of intimacy, so nothing takes hold to begin with. As we turn our attention to the text of the Gemara, you'll notice we have a firebox introducing this section, and that's simply to put you on notice that we have a long topic on hand. Itmar, in the Gemara, Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Labia, an act of marriage that cannot be followed by intimacy for the reasons we explained, for halachic reasons. Abaye Omar Havu Kiddushin. Abai says it is viewed nevertheless as an act of marriage. Rava Omar lo havu kiddushin. And Rava says it's not a marriage. Omar Rava bar ahina. Bar ahina is the name of an individual. Asbara li, he explained to me the pasuk ki yikach ish isha uvoala, and based on Barahino's explanation, Rava rules that kedushin she'ein mesurin lebia, an act of marriage that's not given to intimacy, is not a marriage. And how is that? How is that revealed in this pasuk? So the pasuk says ki yikach ish isha uvoala, when a man takes a woman unto himself and uvoala and has intimacy. Kiddushin hamasurin labia have a kiddushin. The marriage that's represented by the word yikach in the pasuk. A marriage that can be followed by ubo'ala have a kiddushin. That's a marriage. Bo'ala is intimacy. Kiddushin she'ein masurin labia. However, marriage that is not given to intimacy, lo have a kiddushin, is not an act of marriage. As we go on, a new geometric form appears on the side of our Gemara under the Mivneh, the structural note. We have a house image, that a house shape that appears. The house with the tip pointing upwards, kushios al Rava, they represent challenges to Rava. The inverted house shape, chuvos, responses. This marking scheme will continue quite a while. And as we always recommend in Gemara markings, allow your eye to skim ahead. And you will see that this house scheme continues till Daf Nun Beis Omen Aleph, four lines from the top. You see the last house in this discussion. There are numbers that accompany the markings as well. When the number appears, it's the Gemara introducing a new question from sources, from Tanaic sources. If you skim ahead, you'll see that all of the questions are from Tanaic sources. And we've numbered, at least at this point, it seems that there are six questions raised on Rava. In a rare outcome, the Gemara will eventually rule like Abaye. Why do I say rare? Because throughout the Shas, when you have a machlokis Rava versus Abaye, will almost always be following Rava's opinion, with six exceptions, and they're known by the abbreviation Yarl Kegam. We're not going to explain each letter, what topic it represents. Nevertheless, the kuf in that abbreviation, kegam, represents kiddushin she'ein mesurin labia. On Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Rashi enumerates each one of the cases. So for your own interest, you can look into the Rashi, and hopefully you'll find yourself familiar with the other cases. The Gemara. Tanan. We quote now a Tanaic source, which is actually the Reisha of our Mishnah. We've used a diamond to highlight the words Reisha and Seifa. I can tell you ahead of time that in the upcoming section of Gemara, the Reisha is posed as a problem for Rava. You'll notice there's an inverted house marking, at which point the Gemara quotes the continuation, the Seifa of our Mishnah, which will be presented as a problem for Abaye. And when we get to the top of Omid Beis, the Gemara will then proceed to explain the entire Mishnah according to Abaye, and likewise how, according to Rava, how Rava understands the Mishnah. So by the end of this discussion, we will have a draw where each one, Abaye and Rava, defended their positions with regard to our Mishnah. And then we'll move on to number two. So in the meantime, Tanan, a question is raised on Rava. Hamekadesh isha ubita o isha vachoisa keachas einon mekudashois. If a man were to marry a mother and daughter, or two sisters, simultaneously, as keachas, as one, then there's no marriage. And Rashi explains, based on the rule that we saw in our previous shiur, Rabbah's rule, of kol she'enu bozeh achar zeh, if you cannot have something in a successive fashion, one after the other, then you cannot have it simultaneously. So that in the case of a person who marries a woman, fine, you're married to the woman. Can you then marry her daughter afterwards to take a second wife in the form of her daughter? No. That's ein bozeh achar zeh. You can't, the daughter cannot be married to you following your marriage to her mother. Or if you marry one of two sisters. So fine, the lady is your wife. Can you then go and marry her sister and have two wives that happen to be two sisters? No. It's not bozeh achar zeh. It's not successive. So anything that's not successive, you cannot accomplish anything if you try to do them simultaneously. However, we infer, we continue in the Gemara, ho achas mei isha ubita'o mei isha v'achoysa mekudeshes. If a person would have married one of the two, simply not specifying which one, then a marriage would take hold. Avamai, why does a marriage take hold? Can you have intimacy with one of them? Kiddushin shein mesurin lebiyaninu. It's a kiddushin that you cannot follow with intimacy, because the woman with whom you would want to have intimacy, thinking it's your wife, it might be your wife's sister, it might be your wife's mother or your wife's daughter. So it's a kiddushin, but it's not mesurin lebiyah. Ah, and yet we infer that the mekudeshes, that it takes hold. Tiufta de Rava, then this would be a refutation of Rava's position. He said kiddushin she'ein misrun lebiyah is not a kiddushin. Omar loch Rava. So Rava, he doesn't answer the question directly, but he says, if you're asking on me, letameich, according to you that are posing a question on me, Amos Seifa, continue reading the Mishnah, the Seif of our Mishnah. What does it say? And by the way, note that we have a long marking for Rava. What does it say in the Seifa? Maisa b'chomesh nashim uvahen shtei achoyos. A story with five women. In the group of five women, there were two sisters. V'liket echad kalkolos shilteinim. A man gathered a basket full of figs from trees that belonged to these women, and it happened to be the Shemitah year, the Shviyas, the seventh year of the sabbatical cycle, and as such, he's entitled to the fruits. And once he takes them, they become like his. And then what did he do? What did he do? V'yomar, harei kuchem mekudoshes li b'kalkolazu. He said, you're all married to me through this basket of figs. The Omru Chachomim Ein Achoyos Mekudoshos. And the Chachomim said that in a case like that, the sisters are not married. And we continue. Achoyos Hu De'enon Mekudoshos. Ho Nochrios Mekudoshos. The sisters are not married, but the unrelated women, the three other women, are married to this man. Heichi Domi. What exactly took place in terms of the man's offer of marriage to them? Ilei Modiomar Kulchem. He said to the group of five women, Kulchem, all of you, including the two sisters. Now, everyone will agree you can't marry two sisters simultaneously. So that's a non-starter. And if he said Kulchem, it's true, the other three women are eligible. However, there's a new principle, the Gemara says. Kni'at v'chamorhu. This would be tantamount to someone giving over some property to a person and a donkey simultaneously. And a situation like that, v'at v'chamor lo kona. The deal doesn't go through. Rashi gives a little more background to this. Second line from the bottom, Kni'at v'chamorhu, nosein matonus l'nolad u'l'ubar shebe imoi. A man gives gifts to a child that's born and to an embryo a fetus as an as yet unborn child. That's an ubar within its mother. She'enoi kaina klum, gam hanoiladeno kaina. The born child, the living child, also doesn't acquire. Sherei lo hitno lezeh belo zeh. Because the deal was, when you give something to two people simultaneously, you're in effect saying, I'm not giving to you unless you, the other one, also receives. V'hacha, and in such a case, an ubar, an unborn, is not capable of ownership, is not capable of receiving. So the one who is born already also doesn't get. V'hachanami iko chada dolo chazi leklalin. Here too, in this case of five women, two of whom are sisters, you have in the group, the two sisters are not capable of receiving the kiddushin. Man cannot marry two sisters simultaneously. So just like they don't get the marriage, they don't receive, the other three women would not receive either, would not become married. So it's not, that could not be the case in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said that the nochrios, the unrelated women, are married. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Elo lav, rather it must be de'omar lehu. He said to them, achas mikem. V'kotoni, ein achoyos mikudoshos. Rashi at the top line says, elo lav, achas mikem. Delav at v'chamor hu, de'im kidesh zu, lo kidesh zu. So he must have said, with this basket of fruits, I am marrying one of you. And the Mishnah, the Seifa says, which one of the women is he marrying? Well, It's not clear which one of the women he's marrying by his saying achas mikem. However, one thing is clear as far as Rava is concerned. It says the women, the sisters, that is, the sisters are out of the picture, because as far as the sisters, any one of the sisters is not a woman with whom he could have had intimacy without being in violation of a suffek erva, suffek achos isha problem. So the other three women are considered married. We'll say married b'safek, because he said achas mikem, one of you is married to me. But as far as intimacy with any one of those three unrelated women, there would be no erva problem. There would be no forbidden relative problem there. However, with regard to the sisters, even though he says achas mikem, neither one of the sisters are married. What does that affirm? Rava's principle of kedushin shein misur and lebia is einon kedushin. They're not married. So when you take now, when you look at our Mishnah, the result is the Rava kashya resha. The resha posed a difficulty to Rava, and Abaye kashya seifa. And as far as Abaye is concerned, the end of the Mishnah presents a problem, as we just demonstrated. Because according to Abaye, Kiddushin, Shein, Misur, and Lebia is nevertheless considered Kiddushin. Abaye Metaretz Litame. You'll notice we have a squiggle underline here, and we also have a long answer marking. So if you let your eye scan a bit ahead, you'll notice another squiggle underline. First wide line, V'rova Metaretz Litame, where Rava offers his explanation of the Mishnah. Abaye, Metaretz Letame, four lines from the top. Abaye, with his opinion, that Kiddushin, Shein, Mesurin, Labia, Havu, Kiddushin, explains the Mishnah his way. The frame is a presentation of the Mishnah through the eyes of Abaye. Hamikadesh isho bita o isho vachoso ka'achas einon mikudoshos. Person who tries to marry these two, mother-daughter, or two sisters simultaneously, they do not become married. Nothing takes hold. Ho achas me isho bita, o achas me isho v'achosa mekudeshes. If he presented the marriage in such a way where he says, I'm marrying one of you, and the two are two sisters, he says, I'm marrying one of you, and he doesn't specify which one, so it does take hold. That's Abaye's shita, that even though it's a kedusha shein misurin lebia, he would not be able to consummate the marriage with an act of intimacy, nevertheless we infer that it is a marriage. Ve'im Omar, if he announced haru'uya lebia tiskadesh li, eina mekudeshes. If he says explicitly, I'm marrying one of you who is fit for me to have intimacy with, well then, eina mekudeshes, because he specified explicitly that the marriage is dependent on his ability to have halachically acceptable intimacy. But if you didn't specify which one you're marrying, so then you won't be able to fulfill your stated condition, namely the one who's ru'uyo labia is the one to be married to me. Umaisa nami b'chomesh noshim, and a story to illustrate this with the five women, ubohen shtei achoyos, and there were amongst the five women two sisters, v'liket echot kalkola shalteinim, and some man came and gathered a basket of figs, v'omar horu'uyo li mikem tiskadesh li. The one amongst you who is fit to have intimacy with me shall be married to me. Again, not specifying which woman. V'yomru chachomim ein achoyos mikudoshos. There, the sisters will not be married because he specified horu'uya labia. Not having specified that, just having two sisters and saying, one of you is married to me, as far as Abaye is concerned, a marriage takes hold. As we said before, we don't know to which one, and he'd have to give two gittin to release the women, but something took hold. The Rava Mitaretz L'Tameh. Before we read on in the Gemara, let's look at Rashi's second line from the top. Rava Mitaretz Masnisin L'Tameh. Hadikotoni Ke'achas. The Mishnah that spoke about marrying a mother and daughter or two sisters, Ke'achas, which we often translate as simultaneous, lav lemedak, it's not taught in the Mishnah for us to infer ha achas mei isha obito mekudeshes, if you would not have married them simultaneous, but would have stated one of you are married, then it would have taken hold. Again, the Mishnah is not teaching ka'achas to leave room for that inference. Elohochi ko'omar, hamakadesh achas me'isho bita, hare hu kemoshi kitchen ka'achas, v'einon mekudoshos, tekidushin shein mesurin lebia hein. What the Mishnah, by saying ka'achas, means is that if you present a marriage to one of two sisters, and you don't specify which one, it's as if you married both of them simultaneously. And the reason for that is that Kiddushin, Shein Mesurin Lebia, is not a Kiddushin. The Gemara. V'rova mitaretz l'tameh. Hamekadesh achas me'isho bita, oy achas me'isho v'achosa. Nase kemi, shekidesh isho bita, o isho v'achosa, ke'achas. A man who presents marriage to one of two sisters or to one of two women, mother and daughter, it's as if he married both of them simultaneously, and they are not married. And the story, like we saw before, five women, amongst the five women were two sisters. He says, I'm marrying all of you, unrelated women, three unrelated, and one of the two sisters, V'yomru chachomim ein achoyos mikudoshes. And the chachomim ruled that neither of the sisters are considered married. Once again, why? Because kiddushin shein misruin b'yolo hava kiddushin, Rava's opinion. And we mentioned earlier, at this point, neither opinion, Rava or Abaye, has proven the other to be inaccurate or unreliable. We are at a draw. So we continue with number two. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Toshma, hamekadesh es bito stam, ein haboigros bechlal. A man married off one of his daughters. He didn't specify which one. So he received marriage money from a man, and in exchange for that, one of my daughters is married to you. The source says that the adult daughters, the girls over 12 and a half years of age, they're called bogros. That's an age at which a girl is independent of her father. Her father does not have any halachic control over her, whereas prior to that, the Torah grants a father the right to marry off his daughter, to accept marriage money and have her married to a man. But at Bogeris, 12 and a half years of age, she's no longer in his control. So a man who married one of his daughters, the Bogros age daughters are not included, are not considered married. Ha ktanos bichlal. However, minor daughters, or daughters under 12 and a half years of age, are included in having in being considered, we'll say, suffolk married. That she might be the married one. Vamai, why would you say any of the ketanos are included in having being considered possibly the married one? Kiddushin shein misurin lebiyaninu. Can the man who gave the money to the father have relations with one of the minor daughters? No, because that one might be the sister of the one that was actually married to him. And yet we infer that the minor daughters are considered married. In other words, one of them is considered married. Utyufta de Rava. And this is a refutation of Rava. Omar loch Rava. Rava answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the source that we just quoted, is Kishein Shom Ela Gedoyla Uktana. The man, the father, has only two daughters. One a bogeres, and the other a minor. Well, if that's the case, so there's only one daughter that the father could have married off to begin with, namely the minor, and that's a legitimate marriage, and it doesn't involve any problem of kiddushin shein misurin lebiyah. The elder daughter, the bogeres daughter, is not in the running to begin with. So you don't have any problem of achos isha with regard to intimacy with the minor daughter. You notice that we have a bracketed section, and if we skip the brackets, you see Toshma number 3, a third question on Rava. We have a starred note in the margin, and it reads, Hesber zel sograyim, the explanation that we're going to give for these brackets, takef lishar sograyim atsoif asugya be'omid abo. This exercise has relevance for all these subsequent bracketed sections until we get to the next omid, to daf nun beis omid aleph. By the way, always let your eye survey the page, wander ahead, notice markings. Do you notice the bracket length indicators? Well, you do. If you look to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice several of these. That's what we're referring to right now. Bracketed sections that will appear and reappear. We continue with our note on the side. Ad lifnei ha-sugrayim, up till the brackets, Rava mitaretz ha-kushya shenishalav. Rava deflects. He answers the question that was asked on him. Hatshuva oimedes ad atoshman. The answer he gave remains till the next house marking. Miad achrei asugraim, immediately after the brackets, Hagmor mamshichu lahavi toshma mikoros neged rova. After the brackets, the Gemara resumes bringing questions introduced by the expression toshma, questions against rova. Besoch hasugraim, within these bracketed sections, Hagmor dona al tshuvosiv shirova. The Gemara will be analyzing the answer that rova gives each time. But as far as the superstructure is concerned, we have the house point facing up question, inverted house answer, finished. He defends himself. You get to the brackets, an internal discussion. You get back to the next house, again question, followed by answer, again with a little internal discussion that follows that. And the structure is quite rhythmic. Has its own cadence to it. The Gemara. Now that you are familiar with the Gemara structure, Rava's answer had been that in the source quoted, where the house number two appeared, Hamakadish is Bito Stam Eina Bogros Bechlal, Rava gave the answer that the man had only one Bogeres daughter and only one non-Bogeres caller, Ketana daughter. The Gemara asks, how can Rava give such an answer? There's a linguistic problem, a grammatical problem, and that is ha bogros kotani. In the source, the word bogros appears in the plural. So how can Rava say that we're talking about a man that had only one bogeres daughter, when the language that appears is in the plural? The Gemara answers, my bogros. The word bogros in the Tanaic source, bogros the alma. It means, any case like this, all the adult daughters in cases like this would not be included. So it's not a reference to this man's daughters, but it's fathers of two girls, one a bogeres and one a minor. The bogros amongst all of those families will not be considered married. But it's when you focus in on a given family, there's only one bogeres. Think about I hochi my lemeimra. If that's the explanation, what need is there to teach a source whose outcome is so obvious? What do we mean by that? A man who has two daughters and the father is acting on behalf of the daughter to marry her off, he can only act on behalf of the minor. The bogeres, as we explained before, is not in his domain, not in his control. The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the Mishnah, the Tanaic source that was cited, is dealing with the following case. The Shavise Shaliach, the Bogeres daughter appointed her father as an agent to operate on her behalf to marry her off. So the father has been granted a license to work on her behalf. So you have a father that in effect is working on behalf of his minor daughter because of his Torah license, and is working on behalf of his Bogeres daughter because she granted him such a power, such authority. She granted him agency status. Oh. So now we have a father that in fact is going to accept marriage on behalf of one of his daughters. So mahu detema, without the Tanaic source, I would have thought ki mekabel kiddushin, when a father receives the marriage money, adaita dida komekabel, he was receiving it on behalf of her, of the one that appointed him her agent, the bogeres. Komash malon, so the Tanaic source reveals by its ruling ein habogros bichlal, it's telling us to lo shavik inish midi de isle hanomine. A father is not going to abandon. Shavik is to leave aside, to abandon, to leave something from that which he would personally benefit from, and opt to work on behalf of the elder daughter. What do we mean by that? When a father receives marriage money, if he's receiving it for his minor daughter, the father keeps the money. puts it in his own pocket. If he's working as an agent for his elder daughter, she is going to get the money. She simply, the elder daughter, gave him authority to function on her behalf, but not to keep the money, at least at this point. And therefore, the Mishnah, by telling us, Ein HaBogus Mechal, is revealing to us that a person isn't going to give up on something that he could personally benefit from on behalf of the other one from which he doesn't benefit. The Gemara asks, are you convinced that's those are the circumstances? Milo askinon diomra le kidushai lididcha. Are we not speaking in fact about a case where the elder daughter not only appointed him as agent but said, "Listen, Dad, find a nice guy for me and keep the money." So the father would benefit personally either way. So why does the Tanakh source say that the Bogros are not included, that the father did not marry her off? Ah, he could have benefited by marrying her off. Filu hachi, even though that option or that possibility existed, nevertheless, lo shavik inish mitzvah de ram yale, fiovid mitzvah de lo ram yale. A person isn't going to leave over give up on or abandon something that he is commanded in, namely a father has an obligation to see to it that his daughter is married off. That is true when you're dealing with a minor daughter, when she becomes independent, so it's not viewed as an obligation on the father anymore. So a man will not leave the chance to fulfill a mitzvah that deramiole, that's placed on him. This, by the way, is a topic that we discussed earlier in the Masechta, approximately Daf Lamed Omid Beis. Rashi quotes the pasuk referred to there, Es ben Yisechem Tenu La'Anoshim. That's something that the pasuk is addressing, a father that has daughters that are still in his control. So daughters like that represent a mitzvah opportunity for the father to fulfill. He's not going to leave that, the Ovid mitzvah de lo ram yale, and do an act of kindness that's not an act, a mitzvah act that's not, that he's not personally obligated in doing. Person is more prone or more apt to fulfill mitzvahs up that he's personally obligated in rather than those that he's not. So with that in mind, we keep the original answer Rava gave, that the source was not featuring a situation of marriage where you would have had a Kedushin She'ein Mesurin Labia. Toshma, number 3. Mi sheyesh lo shtei kite bonois mishtei noshim. A man has two sets of daughters from two wives that he had married. Person is entitled, according to a formal Torah law, even though you won't find it practiced nowadays in most communities, but what's known as a bigamy, the Gemara recognizes that as a possibility. So a man had two wives, and from the two wives he had two sets of daughters. We have a little illustration on the side. The star indicates that your attention should move to the margin, where we have a little diagram entitled Shtei Kite Bonos. Kite means sets. Two sets of daughters, Mishtei Noshim. So we've labeled them in our little chart, a little diagram, Isha Aleph and Isha Beis, and under Isha Aleph, we have daughter 1 and daughter 2, and under Isha Beis, we have daughter 3 and daughter 4. The numbers represent, chronology. Number 1 is the eldest, 2 is a bit younger, and et cetera and so forth. 3 is younger than 2, but older than 4. So a man had two sets of daughters from two wives, V'omar, and the father proclaims, Kidashti es biti hagadola, v'eini yoidea, and I don't know. And this marking, this triangle marking, is is used to highlight the expression Eini Yodea, which you see here and you'll see in a subsequent source as well. So the father, who has these four daughters, and tells us that he married off Biti Hagdola, and he says, I don't know when I say my older daughter. What does that mean, my older daughter? Does it mean Im Gdolos Shebigdolos? Does that mean the eldest of the older girls? That's the Gdolos are the first set of daughters in our chart, 1 and 2. Is it a reference to Gdolos Shebigdolos, mean daughter 1? V'im Gdolos Shebigtanos, does it mean daughter number 3? Because the daughter number 3 is Biti Hagdola, is my elder daughter, relative to 4. Ve'im, and I don't know, maybe Kitana Shebigdolos. Maybe it's daughter number 2. Ah, how can you call daughter number 2 Gedola? Shehi Gedola Min Hagdola Shebigdolos, because daughter 2 is older than the elder of the second set. So she's daughter number 2 can legitimately be called Gedola. Kulon Asuros, three girls we just referred to, 1, 2, and 3, are considered as if they're married. They're Asuros. They can't go and marry some other man. Chutz Miktanas Shemiktanas, Divrei Rebbe Meir, with the exception of girl number 4, she's the only one that's allowed. This shows us that we have a question on Rava. Do you notice that we dashed underline Kulon Asuros? Kulon Asuros, for practical purposes, means they're all considered as having a possible married status. Can he have intimacy with 1, with 2, with 3? Can he have intimacy? Let's take number 2 as an example. No. He can't have intimacy. Maybe she is not the one that he married. And that when the father said Gedola, he was referring to number 1. So number 2 is Achos Ishto, is a sister of the one he is married to. So he can't have intimacy with her. He cannot have intimacy with 1, nor 2, nor 3. Those are examples of Kedushin She'ein Mesurin Labia. According to Rava, Kedushin She'ein Mesurin Labia, nothing happens, nothing takes hold. You wouldn't describe them as forbidden having a married status upon them. So we have a problem for Rava. There's a note that we have in Rashi, which we featured with a double star on the third wide line under the Gemara text. Rashi says, "V'shaminon," and we learn from here, "Demekadish achas mishtei achoyos stam," one who marries one of two sisters without specifying which one, "shtei and tzrichos get," both of them would require a get to release them. That, of course, is a problem for Rava, who said, "Kedushin shein misurubia lo havu kedushin," nothing takes hold. We continue in the Gemara. "Hocha b'mayaskinon," the inverted house is Rava responding. He says, well, the case over here is kishehukru ulebasof nisarvu. We look at Rashi on the third wide line under the Gemara. Shehukru. We have a father here who's saying that I married off my Biti Hagdola. Rashi Shehukru Bishas Kidushin Piresh Lo. At the time of the marriage, the father had spelled out to the husband which one he was marrying off. Rashi continues in Lubasof Nisarvu, Shochach Ezo Gedoyla Piresh Lo. And then the father tells us that he forgot which one he had specified. Well, if that be the case, then it's not a case of a marriage to one of two sisters that was never specified. which is what Rava and Abaye had been discussing. But here there was a full-fledged, clear, well-defined marriage, exclusive marriage, but later things became unclear. The Gemara continues, Daika Nami, by careful reading of the Tanaic source, you see this to be the case. Dikotani, Eini Yodea, the father is saying, I don't know, meaning, right now I don't know. Velo Kotani Ein Yodua. It doesn't say it was never known. Shmamino, so this, we'll say the grammatical form of the source indicates that it was clear at one point to whom the husband had been married. We mentioned before the brackets is just an analysis of what of this answer, but for all intents and purposes, Rava defended himself. If you skip the brackets, you come again on a new question on Rava. Within the brackets, the Gemara asks, "Well, Yachi Maila Meimra, if that's the explanation of the source, so why teach something that's so obvious? A man says that at the time I married off my daughter, one of these daughters, I told the guy which one I was marrying to him. Right now it's murky, it's not clear, I'm confused, but it was specified which one was married. So okay, if that's the case, then we have to take all the girls are now shrouded in doubt, kulan, and that's why it said kulan asuros. But it has nothing to do with an example. It's not a case of a kedushin she'ein misurin labia when the marriage took place and it had been specified which woman was married, which one of the gedolas was married off. The husband at that point could have had intimacy with her. It was clear, it was specified. So why teach this source if that's the case? The Gemara answers, Lafuke Midrabiosi. This Tanaic source is an opinion to the exclusion of Rabiosi. In other words, Rabiosi would disagree with what we see here. What's Rabbi Yossi's approach to matters like this? The Omar, Rabbi Yossi says, Lo mochis inish nafshe lisfeka. A person would not express himself, would not say things that could lead to murkiness, to a doubt. Well, let's look at Rashi through the eyes. Look at Rashi, who explains the Gemara through the eyes of Rabbi Yosef. Let's Rashi fourth line under the Gemara Lafuke Midi Rabbi Yossi, the Polig Bidoch Pirka, in the next perek he disagrees. V'yomar Kulon Mutoros Linose Lachirim Belo Get. All of the girls, with the exception of one, are not married. Are not part of the doubt. They can marry without a get, without receiving a divorce from the husband. Chutz min agdola shemgdolos, with the exception of girl number one. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that? Why, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, if a man had said kidashi has biti hagdola, and he has these four daughters, that girls two, three, and certainly four can marry anyone they like. The lomochis, Rashi goes on, the lomochis inishnav shilisfeka. A person does not, mochis means descend into a situation of sfeik of doubt. Laskir shame gedola. He wouldn't use the word gedola, imlo gedola shebekulan. If not, referring to the eldest of all of them. Shim yishtaka hadovar shelo ye sofek. A person anticipates several stages ahead when choosing his words right now. So he's going to choose a word that would not be misunderstood, so that since people think ahead, according to Rabbi Yossi, people anticipate doubtful situations later. If he said Gedola, he was choosing a word that meant the eldest of them. He wouldn't have chosen a word that could have been, we'll say, misconstrued or misunderstood. it's true that we offered alternative understandings to it, but as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, when people choose words, they're choosing their words in such a way that if a doubt should arise, you will take the simplest meaning of the word, which leaves us with no doubt. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Toshma. Actually, let me just read. We said, before we read the Toshma, the last few words of the Gemara were that this source is Lafuim Rabbi Yossi, who said, Lo moches inish nafshe l'sveika, komash malon de moches inish nafshe l'sveika. The source tells us otherwise, that people will speak, and when they're speaking, they're not thinking that far ahead and choosing a word that would leave no doubt, but rather people will say things and accept the reality that the word they're using could have alternative meanings. We continue Toshma number 4. Misha kidesh achas mishtei achoyos v'eino yodea ezo kidesh. A man married one of two sisters, and he doesn't know which one. No saying get lezuv, a get lezuv. He gives a get to each one. Ah, but according to Rava, if you marry one of two sisters, you can't have intimacy with any one of them, with either one of them, because any one might be the sister of the one that's actually married to you. Nothing would have taken hold. You wouldn't need a get. So this is a kashan Rava. The answer that we gave before, that at the point that he did marry them, he knew which one he was marrying. Later it became unclear. Daiko Nami, through careful reading you can see this explanation. De Kotoni, Eino Yodea. Right now he doesn't know. Velo Kotoni, Eino Yodua. Doesn't say that it was never known. Well, Ihochi Mai Lameira. Well, if that's the case, what's the purpose in teaching a source whose conclusion is so obvious? Seifo, it's the Richole. It's the continuation of that source that has the novel information in it. Or the necessary information. What does the Seifo say? Meis veloi ach echod. The man described who had married one of two sisters, who knew at the time which one he was marrying, but it became unclear later, and he died without children, and he has a brother. The brother is called the Yavam. Choletz l'shtehen. He participates in the shoe removal ceremony, which releases the widow of a man who died without children, releases her to marry anyone else that she would like. The chalitza process has to be done with the two sisters, because we don't know which one was the real wife. Hoyu lo shnayim. The deceased had two brothers. So we can, if we refer to them by name, you've got Reuven, he died, marrying one of two sisters, Leah or Rachel, I don't know. And he has two brothers, Shimon and Levi. We have a little chart that you can see where the star appears in the margin. The names appear abbreviated. Reuven, the Reish, Shin, the Shimon, and Lamed, Levi. He had two brothers. We continue in the source. Echod choyletz, the Echod miabim. The numbers that you see in that little diagram indicate progression of events. So first, Reuven dies. Stage 2, Shimon does Chalitza. And then Levi has the right to marry the other one. And according to our chart, Shimon did Chalitza with Leah. And Levi does Yibum with Rachel. Im Kidmu V'Kinsu. If the two brothers, Shimon and Levi, married both of these sisters, Shimon married Leah and Levi married Rachel, or vice versa, Ein motzino samiyodam. We don't tell them to leave. Now, in order to understand the source we just read, we have to pause a little while and delve into details that are relevant to Maseches Yevomos. So, as we read this source, let's talk a little bit about the points relevant to the laws of Yibum. In the case that Reuven died, leaving two brothers, Shimon and Levi, we don't know which one is the real wife. So when Shimon does Chalitza with Leah, as you can see in the chart, stage 2, what happened? Was Leah Reuven's wife? Well, if she was, so Shimon just freed the wife of his deceased brother to marry anyone she likes. Rachel is, as far as we're concerned, Rachel is a non-issue. So there's no problem with Levi marrying Rachel. Rachel is the sister of a woman with whom his brother Shimon did chalitza. That's called there's no problem with a marriage like that of Levi to Rachel. Let's look at the case again. Shimon did chalitza with Leah. Maybe Leah was not the one married, so the chalitza was a meaningless act. Rachel is the real wife. If that be the case, Levi's marriage to Rachel, once again, is fine. He's doing the act of Yibum. So by making sure that Shimon first does chalitza to one, that enables Levi to marry the other. Is that order important? Yes, and the Gemara will point that out. Why is the order important? Well, let's say Levi were to marry Rachel before chalitza was done with Leah. What is Rachel? Well, if Rachel was the real wife, so Levi's marriage to her is no problem. If, however, Rachel is not the real wife, and as we said, nothing was done with Leah, Rachel is the sister of the Zekuka. She's the sister of Leah, who is really the one that Levi should be marrying. Again, all of this is shrouded in doubt. But once again, to repeat that point, by Levi marrying Rachel before Shimon does anything with Leah, and by the way, the names could be switched around. We're just using this as a concrete example. But by Levi marrying Rachel before anything is done with Leah, if anything in terms of chalitza is done with Leah, it might be that Leah is the real wife. And Levi's marriage to Rachel, he's marrying the sister of Leah, who is really eligible for Yibum. That is called Achos. Rachel is called Achos Zikukasai. Zikuka is the woman who is legally attached to the surviving brother, to one of the surviving brothers. So by having Shimon release Leah through chalitza, moving her out of the picture, Levi's marriage to Rachel is good either way. She might be the real wife of Reuven, and there he's Mekayim Yibum, he's fulfilling Yibum. She might not be the real wife, so she's the sister of the one with whom his brother Shimon had done chalitza, and there's no problem in that relationship. The source also taught us something interesting. If these two brothers, Shimon and Levi, married both of them, we won't force a divorce. Why is that? That's because even if Levi had married Rachel, just to continue our example before, at a point in time that he shouldn't have done so because Leah might have been the real Yevama and Rachel is Achos Zekukaso, but then when Shimon does marry Leah, so Leah is no longer Zekuka. She's now fully married to Shimon. So Rachel is no longer a problem. If this sounds a bit confusing, do not have concern. This is dealt with much more, say, extensively in Maseches Yevamos. But in the meantime, we go back to the Gemara text, and we're dealing with we're answering the problem of if the case of source number four of Mishikidish Achas Vishtel Choyos, and it was a case of Huku Sof Nisarvu, then the information in the source is obvious. So we said this Seifa is necessary, and what's so necessary about the Seifa? The Gemara continues, Dafka Michlatz Vahadar Yavumi. This is what we've already explained, that when Reuven dies leaving two brothers, and we want to, let's say, have Levi do a marriage with one of those two sisters, it's important for Shimon to first have done Chalitza, that's Michlatz, and Vahadar, and then Yevumi, and then Levi does the Yibum. Avo Yevumi, Vahadar, Michlatz, lo. But to have Levi marry Rachel before anything is done with Leah, that's not good. The kopoga b'achoy sukukaso, because he's encountering the suffix, the doubt, but there's a doubt here that he might be having intimacy with the sister of the one that's really the Yavama, Rachel being the sister of Leah, who might be the real wife. So in order to circumvent that problem, we said first have Shimon do the chalitza, and then Rachel becomes free to marry Levi. Either she's the real Yavama, or she's the sister of the one with whom his brother had done chalitza, and that's no problem. Ta Shema. We continue with, again, another question on Rava. Shnayim shekidshu shtei achoyos, ze eino yodea ezokidesh, ze eino yodea ezokidesh. Of two men that married two sisters. Mr. One doesn't know which one of the sisters he married, and Mr. Two doesn't know which one of the sisters he married. Nosein shnei ze nosein shnei gitin, ze nosein shnei gitin. Each man gives two divorce documents, one to this sister and one to that sister. Notice we've dashed on the line shnei gitin. That means that a marriage has taken hold. We simply don't know to which one. So you have Mr. One married one of two sisters. Can he have intimacy with one of those sisters? No. Why not? Because she might not be the one that married him, but rather the sister of the one to whom he's married. That's called Achos Ishto. That's Kiddushin She'ein Mesurin Lebiah. According to Rava, there would be no need for a get. There would be no marriage that takes hold. And yet, you see, there is a requirement for a get. That's our problem from this source on Rava. The Gemara answers, Hochi Nami, here too. Shehukru ulebesof nisarvu. The same answer as we gave before, that when each one of these men married their respective wives, they knew which one. It then became unclear later on. Daiko nami dekotoni eini eino yodea velo kotoni ein yodua shma mino. The Gemara asks, Yochi maile meimra? Well, if it's a case where each one of these two men knew at the time who he was marrying, so there was a full-fledged marriage, a doubt arises later, well, now it's not clear, so each one gives two gittin, that's obvious. The Gemara says, Seifoi v'sterichalei. It's the continuation of the source that is of importance, or is revealing information that I need to know, that I wouldn't have, that I need to be informed of. You notice that we have a framed section, and also we have a starred note, because we want to read the beginning of this Seifa not the way it's printed in this Gemara, but rather Mesu Lozeach, the Lozeach, the Vov of the word Vilozeh most likely should be attached to the word mace and read it mesu, because the resha of the source spoke about two men that happened to be married to the two sisters. And the Seifa is describing a case where the two men died, leaving brothers, each one a brother. So the word should read mesu, they died, and lozeach, the lozeach, and each one of these men had their own respective brothers. Ze choyletz lishtehen, vze choyletz lishtehen. Each surviving brother shall do chalitza to the two sisters. One of the two sisters is his brother's widow. He simply doesn't know which one, so you do chalitza to both of them, thereby releasing the real wife to marry whomever she wants. Loze echod veloze shnayim. One of the deceased men had one brother. The other deceased man had two brothers. Ho echod choleitz l'shtehem. The single brother, meaning the deceased that had only one brother, so he will do chalitza to the two sisters. One of them was his brother's wife, and the other one was her sister. He cannot marry either one of them, because one of them might be the sister of the one who's zekuka to him, who's actually bound. You can't marry the sister of the one bound to you. So the brother that died leaving, the man that died leaving only one brother, has to do chalitza with the two sisters. That's echad chayav l'shteihem. Now, on the other side, you've got the other man, that had been married to one of the two sisters, but he died leaving two brothers. Those two brothers, echad choyleitz v'echad miyabeim. This section is very similar to what we learned in the fourth house section. In a case like this, so then the scenario is very much like the chart we were looking at before. The second man had two brothers. So one of the brothers does chalitza. What does that do? That either releases the real widow of his brother, the deceased, or it's a meaningless act because he's doing with the sister of his brother's wife. So one does chalitza to one of the girls, one of the sisters. V'echad mi'abeim, and the second brother, he can then do yibum. And we describe this at great length in the chart before, because at that point, who is he marrying? He's either marrying the real widow, his brother having done chalitza with the sister of the widow, or he is marrying the sister of the one with whom his brother had done chalitza. And there's no problem with that. Im kidmu v'kinsu, ein motzino son miyodom. If the deceased that left the two brothers, both of those brothers married the two sisters, we leave them together, as we explained before. And once again, dafko michlitz v'hodu yevumi, it's important to note the order of operations when you're dealing with the man that died leaving two brothers. We want one brother to first do chalitza, and then the other brother doing yibum. Avu yivumi v'hadar michlatz, to switch the order would not be acceptable. Lo, why not? The kopoga b'yivom alashuk, because he is he's marrying without chalitza having been done to the other one beforehand. He's in effect marrying the almana of the first man who had left only one brother. We have to go over this last point more accurately than the way we explained it. When the Gemara says here, "Dafka michutz v'hadri yavumi," it means that it's the order of the events vis-a-vis the two men. The single brother of the first man will have to have done chalitza with both women first, and then we can leave open the option of a marriage with the second, the brother of the man who left two brothers. Why? Why is it important for the man who left one brother, for that brother to have done chalitza with both women? Because if not, the woman that's married by the second brother of the man who died leaving two brothers, he might be marrying the wife of the first man. And the wife of that first man, the widow of the first man, is really bound to his brother. And if he did nothing, if that brother did nothing, so this fellow who's marrying her now is marrying what we call a yavama. That's a woman who's bound to do yibum. And she's now marrying someone else, meaning this the brother from the second man, while she is still bound to the brother of the first deceased. So, again, we emphasize here the order is important. Toshma, Tani Tavyumi. Tavyumi is the name of a person, of a great Rav, and Tavyumi teaches the following Tanaic source, which, once again, is presented as a kasha on Rava. Loze Chamisha Bonim. Veloze Chamisha Bonos. We have two men. One has five sons, the other has five daughters, Viomar, and he says, Achas mi benosecha mikudeshes li echad mi bonai. One of your daughters is to be married to one of my sons. So you have a father who's acting as a shaliach on behalf of his sons, and so this father is giving money on behalf of one of his sons to the father of the five girls on behalf of his son to marry one of those five daughters. Well, we don't know which son is married to which daughter. Kol achas v'achas tzricha chamisha gitin. Each one of these women will require a divorce document from each one of those five sons. Now, the fact that we're requiring a get means that a marriage has taken place. We just don't know to whom. Now, if you think about it, can any one of those sons have intimacy with any one of those women? Well, no, because the man having intimacy with one of those women, it might be the sister of the one to whom he is really married. That's called achos ishto. So each one of those girls is a sofek achos ishto. It's a kedushin she'ein mesurin lebia. It's a marriage that cannot be consummated with intimacy. Right there, we have a problem for Rava. The source goes on, Meis Echad Mehem, if one of those sons died, Kol Achas V'Achas Tzricha Arbo Gitin V'Chalitza Me'Echad Mehen. So, each one of the women will require four divorce documents. They're only... one of the brothers died, so there's four men that remain. So the four men will give a divorce to each one of those five women, and one of those four brothers will do chalitza, because any one of those women might be an almona. She and the get given to her would have no meaning. She's an almona. And she would need chalitza to enable her to marry someone else, to release her from the yibum bond. We want to emphasize right now the fact that gittin were required. V'chitemo hochinami kishahukru lebesof nizarvu. You might want to try to give that same answer that we've been giving already since question number 3. We saw number 3, number 4, number 5, all being answered with the answer of hukru lebesof nizarvu, where there wasn't any doubt at the initial marriage stage. You want to say that over here? But that you can't say. Ha, achas mi benosecha li'echod mi bonai kotoni. The original marriage was unclear, where the man, the father of the boy, said, "One of your daughters is married to one of my sons." So you see that at the outset there was no clarity, and yet there is a requirement of a get. Tiufta de Rava. So this is a refutation of Rava. Tiufta, and that's a resounding defeat, so to speak, for Rava's position. Ve'ilchaso kavose d'Abaye, and we rule like Abaye b'yarol kigam in 6 areas of halacha, whereas in the rest of Shas we will rule like Rava. Why are we pointing that out over here? Because in this abbreviation, Yarol Kigam, which represents 6 areas of halacha, the Kuf is Kiddushin She'en Misurin Labia. And in this particular sukya, we rule like Abaye, the Kiddushin She'en Misurin Labia, Havu Kiddushin, that something takes hold. And in order to solve the problem, a get is required. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.